Hey everyone, and welcome to Top 5 Tuesday. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Ho, ho, ho. Big Santa's been coming down the chimney, leaving the best of gifts, and we're counting down our top 5 favorites of all time. Let's see, we've been starting with you guys often here, so I'll start this time.
Okay.
And then we'll go... We haven't done this. We'll do Kev, then Doug. Doug hasn't brought up the caboose in a while.
All right.
So and he got the fattest ass. So out of the three of us. So
that's Daddy, we know that's not true. I've got that fucking Scottish ass. There ain't nothing. It's fucking shoulders to knees. Just a flat goddamn board.
Wait, yeah. Why are all three of us? Why do all three hosts?
No, Jeremy's got the donk out of all of us. I've got the Hank Hill butt, where it's like you can grab it both cheeks, one hand.
Yeah, mine's it's like inverted.
All three of us don't have an ass, so for me to have the biggest one out of three of us is a problem.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, exactly. That's what we're saying.
At least we can stand comfortably against walls.
We can become a wall, the three of us.
No.
We put ourselves up against something that we can create an instant wall. People walk by and go, oh, my God, thank God there's a wall here. I've been waiting. I need a break.
Well, just one side, though, just our backside. They walk around the front side, they'd be like, what the fuck?
Like, oh, these are humans.
Well, these are humans. I thought it was a wall. Backside was flat as fuck.
So my number 5 is going to be... some of mine are older and some of mine are newer, but, number 5 is going to be a poster, which is strange, you know, it's a best gift, but a lot of these are reasons because there's stories behind them and there's a lot of meaning. And so, it was around the time that Ashley and I were really heavy into Parks and Rec, and we absolutely loved Ron Swanson, right? And it was the same season when he came out with his Pyramid of Greatness.
Yeah.
And so I saw this poster at in the mall, and I was like, oh my God, this would be the perfect gift for Ashley. And clearly she thought the same thing, because we both had tubed gifts to give each other, and we were like, oh, this is funny. Like, we both have, like, similar tubes. Like, that's funny. Let's do these at the same time. And they ended up being the same goddamn poster. We got the same Pyramid of Greatness posters for each other. And we just sat there dying laughing. So that's one of my favorite memories and one of the best gifts.
That's fun.
Kev?
You're muted, bud.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. My number 5 was, I was just testing the lip reading, you know, seeing if you guys caught up on Hawkeye. So you can
choose. No, no, no.
Yep, that's my story. So my number 5 is a music CD, and it was Bone Thugs and Harmony's East 1999 CD that came out in like 96 or something like that.
Bone, 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 bone.
Funny enough, it was before that song was on it. They had like a first release of it where they had a completely different version of Crossroads that was a lot darker. And then all of a sudden they released that single and they like redid the album. Like they added that version instead, the DJ Unique mix or whatever. And it was funny because they turned in from like a heavy like rap group, and then Eazy-E died and they turned into like real, real kind of like R&B, thug R&B.
They found their voice.
Yeah, and the thing is, the harmonies was great, but like the beats, like that album is very dark, but it's very, very good, and it's something I still listen to today. But I specifically remember getting it for Christmas and then going to listen to it on my CD player. And once the bass kicks in, like even on this little shitty stereo that I had, like I felt it in my room, and I was like, this is an album that's gonna follow me for life. And yeah, like I said, I think I listened to it like last week, like I still do.
Okay.
Like, I love it.
Can you admit something to us? Can you admit the reason why you listen to it all the way to this day is because you refuse to look up the lyrics and you're still trying to figure them out?
Yeah. It's just all the rolling. And it sounds like they're doing cattle, like the cattle auctions. And we got 21, and then we count. And then they get the groove going. It's the first of the month.
You want to buy a cow, 45, it's the first of the month. Wake up.
Seriously, there was, so when Kevin and I were in high school, one of my best friends is also named Kevin. You know him, Jer.
Grunwald.
He stayed, his one of his brothers would wake up like every day to first of the month, and Kevin would be like, man, it's the 16th, man. Just let it be.
That's too funny. Doug, what do you got?
My number five. Okay, so this one I got when I was a kid, and it's I don't know why this one's like stuck with me, but I do remember getting it and being like super stoked. And that's the Indiana Jones trilogy on VHS. Oh. I was like eight or nine years old. And that like sparked my like love, one, for Indiana Jones, but also like movie making. Like that's when I was like, oh my God, Steven Spielberg's a fucking genius. Like these movies rule. Like what the fuck?
Yeah.
And like literally after that became like obsessed with like how movies were made. And that kind of is what kickstarted. I mean, literally even to this day where it's like, I am so intrigued by all the behind the scenes stuff about how things were done and made. And it kind of starts over here with the Indiana Jones trilogy on VHS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't have those anymore because now I have them on Blu-ray. But when that came out, I was like, Insta-buy. Like, not even gonna fucking think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love those. I remember that trilogy case or whatever. Like, wasn't it like a triple sleeve or something like that? Yeah, I remember that. It was awesome.
Yep.
Okay, so my number four is going to be a lot like number five. Same situation. Same exact story. Ashley and I both bought each other the same exact item. And they were Apple Watches. And we did not talk to each other about these. Like, we did not say, like, hey, are you interested in an Apple Watch? It was when I was having issues with me heart. With me hearty. and I was like, and I think that's the only reason why we had a discussion about Apple Watches. And then that sparked something to where she was just like, oh, I'm going to get him one. And then I also probably put a seed in my own head where I was just like, oh, that'd be a good gift for her. So we both, once again, it was the last gift of the day, you know, cause you save the biggest gift for last because you build up to it. Right. At least we do that in our house.
Yeah.
And then we unwrap it's the same thing. And we just look at each other and we're like, again, we did it again. It's funny. So that was my number four.
So
Kevin,
my number four is once again, I mean, all these from my childhood when I got my first, Nintendo Game Boy, the green screen, like the big old, like the one that came with Tetris.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And 3 hours after owning it, I remember dropping it. I didn't break it, but I dropped it. My mom was like, well, there's a waste.
Was she talking about you or the Game Boy?
I still don't know to this day. And I'll never get that answer. Oh,
oh my God.
But yeah, the Nintendo Game Boy, man. If you were around for that age, you know the struggle of being the awesome kid who owned a Game Boy, but also could not play that Game Boy at night unless there was some kind of light fixture because it was a dark green screen that you played it on and there was no backlit. That's the joys of playing in the 90s or the 80s, whatever this came out. I think this was like 88 or something like that. Maybe it was early, but it was a great system for when it for what it was worth at the time. And yeah, man, that Game Boy Tetris, that Tetris theme still gets stuck in my head. Like Game Boy had like a specific like theme.
Yep. My number four, kind of similar to Kev's. Mine is when we got our first Nintendo, the NES. When we got the NES.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I got a Game Boy 1 year also, but the NES is kind of, again, that's what, like, we had an Atari before that as well, but I think I was too young to really, I remember it, but I don't really remember playing it. But the NES, we had that one for years.
Mm-hmm.
I still fucking have it. I still also have the Game Boy. I still have it. It's over in this area of my room that you can't see, but it's over there. And it's that weird, dude, it turned that weird, like, because they were like kind of like a grayish white color, and it's like a brownish white color now. Like that plastic on the casing was made out of just does not age well at all. And there's no amount of scrubbing to fix that. And it's just what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
That changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what did it. My parents bought that for us. And then we also got the one, and it came with, we had one of the games that had, like, Mario, the first Mario game. Duck Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And something else. So we had, like, the gun. I think the gun's over there, too. And mm-hmm. we also had the Olympic sports game with the floor track, a pad thing.
Yeah.
That you'd have to run and jump on or whatever to do the controls. The game sucked, like, in retrospect. Like, it was so bad.
But everyone would just cheat and use the chair. Like, put the chair in front of it and just do your little, like, mad dash.
Yep.
Or use your hands.
Yep. That was a great gift. That literally kickstarted, like, interesting gaming.
Let's see here. Number three is related to gaming, and that's when Ashley purchased the Mortal Kombat arcade machine for me. Not like a full stand-up one. That'd be insane. It was the arcade one-up one, the miniature. But I've had so much fun with that thing, and it brought me back to my youth because I've also modded it to include like 3,000 arcade games, and it sits up in the game room, and we have a great time with it. And I've upgraded all the speakers to it. I've upgraded the controls. I've done it's not the same thing. It's a shell of its former self. I almost put a bigger screen in it, but I stopped myself because I was like, I've already invested like $100 into this. I'm not. This is no one's going to play this like I want them to. Like this is fine. The smaller screen's fine. So yeah, I've had a great time with it. It was such a surprise too, because we decided not to do big gifts because for I forget what reasons, but then she goes, "Oh, I have one left." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And then she rolls this thing out. I was like, "Oh, you got me this." I was like, "Oh, ow." And then I patted her head like a puppy and said, "Thank you. Thank you, wife."
Oh no.
Just a good girl. No, that's terrible. I'm sorry. I didn't do that.
And then she took the gift back.
Yeah. And then she divorced me.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Kev, what's your number three?
How do I follow that up?
Yeah, seriously.
My number three is a Sega Genesis console with Sonic the Hedgehog Part 2. Yeah, I got it when they first, it was when they did their first redesign, so I didn't have the original Sega Genesis, but when they did the smaller one, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like I'm sorry, I just laughed because shit got real for Doug, because all I hear from the background, when you said Sonic 2, he goes, shit.
It's the best one.
Yeah. I don't remember saying shit.
You were like,
Shit. Did I say shit?
Or maybe you said, yeah. I don't know.
I said, yeah. Okay. I said, yeah. It was like the Sonic. I was like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's, yeah. I was just like,
yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck
and yeah. I was like, yeah.
Did I say shit? I don't remember. I said shit.
Let's go back to the recording.
Right. Let us know in the comments. Did I react that way? Because in my head, when you were talking about Sonic, I was thinking about how we saw Sonic 2 trailer at the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And how
yeah.
I was a little underwhelmed by the trailer for it. I was a little disappointed in the Sonic 2 trailer.
Well, if you want to, the fans are remaking it in the old style of when they first announced the first one.
I know. They're making, oh, my God.
The with the teeth
tails,
and
Tails. Yeah, they've, like, redesigned Tails and Knuckles to look like the original design of the Sonic.
Oh, so no. Funny.
They look cracked out. They look so cracked out.
Oh, boy.
Oh, but, so good.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great console, and I think it kicked off my love for Sega, because Sega at that time, I mean, they were like marketing wise, video game choice wise, they were the edgier company between them and Nintendo. They had blood in their games. They had games that pushed the envelope. Nintendo was still playing the family card, like, you know, Mortal Kombat was coming out and they replaced blood with sweat, you know, and just stuff like that. While, you know, Genesis was like, fuck that, we'll throw in fatalities. I mean, you got to put in like a stupid little code, but here's the code, you know, like they weren't coy about it. Mm-hmm. Man, yeah, and like I said, the things that led onto it, the first system that became Add-On City, you know, the Sega CD, 32X, Sega Channel, you know, all these different add-ons and everything like that. It was fun, man. Sega Genesis was a rad console, and that was one of my favorites that I got for Christmas.
That's when they made those ads that Nintendo don't.
Yeah, that was it. Sega do what Nintendo don't, mm-hmm. or welcome to the next level. Mm-hmm. Sega!
Doug, what's your number three?
My number three, whoa, a little tongue-tied there. My number three is when I got my first DSLR camera, my Rebel T2i.
Ooh.
And that started for me, like, a love for, like, doing, like, photography and, like, digital video stuff, man. Like, that really changed everything. I went from literally, like, having a, like, it was one of those shitty little handy cams that would film on those, what are they called? Those DVI or something like that, tapes or whatever the fuck they're called. Someone knows. It was like a tape. It was, even though it was like, they say it was digital. It was a fucking, I guess it was a magnetic strip or instead of like film. But, I went from that to the Rebel and that just fucking changed everything. And I've gotten another camera since then, but that one started it all. And like some of the first conventions we went to, I was there with the Rebel. It was my go-to camera. It's light, it's small. So it was a great beginner like camera. I recommend if anybody has any interest in doing like photography and you don't know what to get, like the Rebel is a great starter camera. I don't know what version they're on now. I think I saw that there's a 7 or something. When I typed in Rebel T, it was like 7? You want the 7?
You want by now? Christmas? You want
by now? And I don't know if they're still the same, like it was like $400, I guess, as opposed to like the thousands of dollars you could spend on a really fancy DSLR camera. But again, they're smaller, they're wider. I don't want to say they're beginner cameras, but they kind of are, you know, they'll teach
they're
you.
Kind of a starter. They're kind of a starter pack, you know?
Yeah. Some of the stuff in like the glass and stuff inside aren't as good as, Oh, there's an 8. I guess maybe the 8's coming. T7. We'll see how much this is. Yeah, $450. You can get like sets and stuff. Yeah, because I think I got like it came with like a bag and an additional lens. So I got like two lenses out of it. And the great thing about Canons is also like you can use those lenses on any other Canon camera. They all work together, which I think is true of most cases. I mean, there's some lenses that you can't use that are meant for like, what's that other brand? Nikon. Nikon. I almost said Nokia.
I almost said that too. I almost said Nokia.
It's a Nokia. God, they're ahead of their game.
You know, even if we were to go to a convention like tomorrow and I was going to pack my cameras, I would still take my Rebel, my old T2i.
Yeah. You shot with that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. I did. Yeah, I remember I'd take both with me, and I'd have like the bigger the 70D or whatever, and then the Rebel. Mm-hmm. Like I had the thing with the
you double strapped it.
Yeah, man. two different lenses, you know, you hit shoot different stuff. It was great. Fucking awesome.
But, I missed that. You guys hitting all the angles, just going taking pictures, because both of you guys were fantastic at it.
Yeah.
Get some really good con pictures.
Those were the days.
We did our thing. Maybe one day we'll do it again.
Yep.
When it's safe.
Let's see. My number two is, excuse me, one second. Had to cough.
Yeah.
Okay. So my number two is a WWF. I was going to say E, but it was F. WWF wrestling ring.
Hell yeah.
So I was big into wrestling when I was a kid, and I love WWF. But the reason why this is very special to me is because everyone in the house was sleeping, and I snuck downstairs in the middle of the night, and my grandpa was still awake, and he was sitting in the living room, and he was watching something on TV. And I don't remember the conversation about like, oh, what are you doing up or anything? But my grandfather is, if anybody has listened to the podcast, my dad left when I was three. My grandfather, he was essentially my father figure. He died when I was 12. But growing up in the house, he's the one who, you know, taught me kind of to do, I guess you could say, I mean, I don't know if it's manly things, you know, to be, you know, to how to fix things and how to, I guess those aren't categorized as manly things, but,
household house, and, you know, being a general fixer upper. How about that?
Yeah. Back in the day, I'd say manly things, but,
yeah, I mean, that's about how he probably classified it too. When I wanted you to be a man. Yeah.
So he would make me split wood and all that. So the memory sticks with me because it's so special and I appreciate him. But he said, he goes, hey, why don't you grab one of those gifts over there and open it? I was like, are you serious, Grandpa? And he was like, yeah, go ahead. So I grabbed a big one, and when I opened it, it was the WWF wrestling ring, and I already had wrestlers and stuff, so. I ran and got those, and I put the ring together, and then it sticks in my head because my mom heard some ruckus downstairs, and she comes downstairs and she's like, "What the fuck, Dad? Why would you let him open that?" And then he was like, "Oh, don't worry about it. I let him open one." Well, that was one of his big gifts, Dad. And so she was freaking out over it, and.
That's fine.
But the fact that he let me do that, and the fact that it was a really cool gift, and I was just sitting there with him and hanging out for, you know, a couple hours, that was special. So that makes my number two.
Ace.
Kev?
That's my number two. It's another one I got when I was really young, but I got super hyped over it, and I looked up the eBay value of it, and it's skyrocketed, and that is the Masters of the Universe Mighty Cycle. It was a big wheel. It was the one. So big wheels is in the 80s was like you had these. It was like a tricycle. You had these two small wheels in the back that you sat down in it, and they had this one big wheel in the front, and you had pedals that you just kind of pedaled on. And this one was Masters of the Universe theme. So it was He-Man. They had two different cycles. They had like a He-Man one, and they had like a Skeletor one or something like that. And I had the He-Man one. And it was rad. And last I checked on eBay, they go for like $4,000. Fuck no, I don't. I tore that thing up. I mean, I used it as a kid, so I rode it like through the alleys on the sidewalks and stuff like that. So like the wheels were, I mean, it was like plastic, like a hard plastic. So, you know, eventually you could tear away at it. So I think it just got, you know, just degraded over time. Mm-hmm. But it was fun, man. It was cool, just like get around on your big wheel. You know, I couldn't afford the power wheels, so the big wheel was the next best thing.
Nice. I love big wheels. Those were a blast.
Yeah.
Doug?
My number two is one I got a couple of years ago. This might be one of the more recent gifts that I got. It was the Wacom Cintiq from my wife.
I was wondering if this was going to make your list.
Yeah, because it was, so Katie and I, we put all of our focus in the kids, and making sure that they have like really nice Christmases, and we don't really get each other a whole lot. And so, yeah, that year's, you know, I don't think I really got anything from the family, which again, it's fine. Or if I did, it was like small things. Again,
it
whatever.
Did not and then my wife was
pops this like box on my lap, and I was like, "The fuck is this? This is heavy. Like, what the fuck?" And yeah, it was that, and it was, you know, these things are like $800. So it was like, what the fuck, dude?
I remember,
I've been doing like streams and stuff to like get, you know, make money to buy one, and she just fucking plopped one down. I was like, the fuck.
I remember that year too, because on the show we were talking about gifts and everything and Christmas, and you were super bummed because you're just like, I don't get fucking shit for Christmas, and I haven't gotten shit for my birthday. I never do. I get fucking, I got these fucking kids now, and we got to make sure that they're good and everything.
Yeah.
And you were super bummed. And then all of us, and I knew already, like I knew because she told me, and, yeah. And I was just like, yeah, man, that sucks.
Yeah, man.
So I could not wait for you to open your stuff. And I was just so excited for you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, this is another year. I'll probably get stuff from like my sister and my parents, and that'll probably be it. I mean, so we went over the other night to my in-laws, to her dad and his wife, to their house for like a Christmas thing. And they gave, I got a bottle of Jameson from them.
Ooh, nice.
Which I was like, oh, thank you. Like,
nothing says, hey, welcome to your mid-30s, like a bottle of alcohol.
Yeah. It's like, oh, all right. Well, thank you for this. Thank you for this. Don't drink a whole lot, but we'll use it. I'll make some Jameson mules because those are delicious.
Is that like a Moscow mule?
Yeah, but you use Jameson instead of vodka.
Is it as refreshing?
Yeah. Yeah, do anything with like that ginger beer is gonna, yeah.
Okay.
And the lime.
So. Okay, so we have come to the number one spot, and the number one thing for me is I put down just game systems because my mom got me two of them before she's like, all right, I'm fucking done. she got me the NES, the original with when you got accessories with it and an actual game, the Duck Hunt and Mario, and then of course you got the light gun with it, and so I had an absolute blast, and like Doug, that changed my life, as well probably as Kevin, when he got his Game Boy
and dropped it
and then of course with the Sega Genesis, like Kev, I got, I actually didn't get the second version. I got the first, no, I did get the second version, the compact one. My buddy had the original, but, and after my mom gave me that, cause we grew up super, super poor, and everything that my mom purchased, after I found out that Santa wasn't real, which was really bummed me out. I found out like the way that she got us our gifts is that she went to Sears, and Sears had layaway, and she would start like 6 months beforehand, and she'd put everything on layaway and have it paid off by Christmas. And so, I was like, God damn, I respect that. Like, she did go through and try to do the best for us and make sure we had a nice Christmas. And the way she did that was the layaway stuff. And, you know, it cost her an arm and a leg to get these game systems, but she did it for me. And I always appreciate that. And that's what, you know, made me fall in love with gaming. And so, yeah, those are my favorite things. Kev?
Yeah. My number one, actually was, speaking of layaways, my mom did the same. It was a Kmart, and mm-hmm. she put this on layaway, I'm sure, because I remember going with her and making the payments, but not knowing what it was for, ended up being a Chicago Bulls starter jacket.
Aww. Oh my God.
Dude, in the 90s, that was gold. That was, you were the coolest kid on the fucking block if you had a fucking starter jacket, but also the Chicago Bulls, because it was the 90s and the Bulls were the best basketball team of the 90s. Mm-hmm. And yeah, And I just remember getting it and being super hyped. And then I remember my dad looking at it. And I'm like, both my parents smoked heavily in the house. So it was really hard to avoid having that smoky smell. But he's like looking at my jacket with like a cigarette in mouth. And I'm like, oh, he's blowing it right on it.
Would you believe that all that stuff is coming back now?
Starters making a comeback? Oh, boy. Those pullover jackets?
The windbreakers, all that stuff is really popular. Now, like, Colin is asking for Christmas. He asked for a Chicago Bulls windbreaker. And I was just like, he goes, the 90s style. And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, because they haven't made them since the 90s.
So
that's funny. We've lived long enough to see the 90s come back.
In a big way.
So. I know. I saw a post the other day. It was about the 80s, but it was like the 80s. In media, and it was all like those like bright colors and like the outfits is like the 80s in reality, and it was just a picture of a McDonald's ashtray. Comment under it was like, it's amazing to me how we've forgotten just how brown the 80s were. And I feel that way about the 90s too, where it's like oh, look how like hip and chic this shit is, and it's like, nah, fam. Like,
no, not when you live through it.
Not when you live through it. Like, I guess this stylized version of it or whatever for today, sure. Yes, it's very 90s-esque, but like, y'all, that ain't it. Mm-hmm. Y'all don't know how miserable you're about to be. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's like, because we live through it, we just see that, and we're just like, ah, the good old days. Man, how miserable my life is now. And you just look at it, and you just can't help but associate that feeling with it. God. So you see these kids in their 90s bullshit, and you're just like, you're going to be so fucking miserable one day, bud. Like, eat it up.
Eat it up. When you're
sitting, enjoy your fake 90s, kid.
When you're sitting on a podcast and you're in your middle age and talking about how you used to be on TikTok.
Yelling at clouds.
Well, I mean, yeah, and I have to imagine that like our parents and stuff, they probably went through the exact same shit when like the like kind of there, because there was a time when like the 60s and 70s like era of like fashion and stuff kind of made a resurgence. People were in like bell bottoms and shit, where like, yeah, there was probably our parents going like, oh, this fucking shit, god fucking damn it, y'all are gonna be fucking miserable one day.
Oh man, when are we gonna get like raver pants coming back? Is that gonna be toward the end of the 2020s where they're gonna like think like this is the 90s over again?
Oh shit, fucking JNCOs.
Yeah, JNCOs making a comeback. Kids walking around with fucking like the bottoms of their jeans like soaked because it's because they always drag across the ground.
Well, if Kevin Smith has his way, it'll be any day now.
Nope. Yeah, true.
Man, I had a starter jacket also. I had a Dallas Stars starter jacket.
I think all of us did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, the Sunny last week were...
we're in the Charlotte Hornets.
We're in the Charlotte Hornets one. Because we couldn't get a Philly one.
That's funny.
Oh, so good. Okay, so I guess my number one, huh? Mm-hmm. My number one was my first PC. I was given... Me and my sister both got... what was the brand? Compaq, maybe?
It had to be. It had to be. That was the one that everybody had to get. It was Compaq was so big.
Or E-Machines. That was another one.
Yeah, because there was also like Gateway computers too, but I think it was a Compaq. It was like black, you know, had the CR, the giant fucking monitor. What was it called? I almost said CRVs.
CRTs.
Yeah, like, you know, a giant monitor. But with that also came, like, all the LucasArts games and stuff. My dad got all those, and my uncle got me the Zork Anthology. So, like, those text adventure games were some of the first, like, computer games that I had. And, like, literally between... And I got that when I was, like, maybe 9. Because what they did is they got one for my sister because she was starting, like, middle school, high school or whatever at the time. And so she needed a computer for her homework. And they knew, like, we can't just get... her one, like, Doug will throw a fucking
Doug's gonna bitch.
Yeah, Doug's gonna fucking bitch. So they got two, which is awesome, and I can't imagine how expensive that must have been in 1990, or I don't know.
They know what guy they seven. Got a deal. Yeah, right.
And that was great. I didn't have any like game systems between like the NES and like the PlayStation because I had the computer, you know, like We had a family computer before that, but like this one went to my room, you know, and I played a lot of Dark Forces and Monkey Island and all those LucasArts games, and it was great. And they did that thing where it's like, oh man, those are all the gifts. And then my dad's like,
hey, what's that in the corner?
To my mom, like, hey Lori, like, did you get everything? And she's like, wow, yeah, that's everything, isn't it? And he's like, no, I feel like there's something else. We got something else. Hold on. Let me go check the bedroom. And he goes into their bedroom, and then, like, he pushes out, like, these two giant fucking boxes with the computers in them.
And you're like, oh, what's that?
You know.
And that was awesome. That was when your parents were cool to you.
Yep.
That was the end. Yep. That was the end. That was the good days.
Simpler times.
Simpler times. Hey man, my parents don't. They do good gifts. Like, you know, like, was it last year? Was it last year? Man, we got the butcher block countertop. Oh, in the
yeah,
kitchen.
I remember
or
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like that was like 2 years ago because I remember you getting it installed or something like that. Didn't you get like the?
I feel like that was last year.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
It's been these last 2 years have blended together.
Yeah. It could have been
because I feel like it was pre-COVID because you had people come in and install it.
My father-in-law installed it. Yes.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, and they also got us like a new sink, which I know is such a dumb thing to be excited about, but like we had when we bought the house, it had just a shallow kitchen sink that sucked. You'd be washing dishes and you'd be splashing water fucking all over yourself. You'd walk away looking like you just pissed your pants or whatever because the way. So then we got like a super deep, you know, like almost like a commercial grade, like one, you know, you could stack a fuck ton of stuff in it. And it currently does have a fuck ton of stuff stacked because everyone's being lazy. No one's to do dishes. yeah, that was the same year. And I don't remember. That might have been last year. That might have been the year before. I do not remember.
I think it was last year because I think 2 years ago you got the butcher block. Or maybe it was the same year?
And we got those two things the same year, yeah.
Then I don't know.
So it was like, oh man, now I just want to redo the rest of the kitchen. Can we get new fucking like cabinets and stuff too while we're at it?
Anybody want to put in on that?
Yeah, anybody want to? Anybody? No? Okay.
Hashtag put it on the card.
All right. Well, that was it for our top five Tuesday. I hope everybody enjoyed it. Tomorrow we got What's Up Wednesday. So stay tuned. And until then, I'm Jeremy.
Doug.
I'm Kevin.